event of the love of God that came in Christ Jesus. The best way for us to understand that is to survey His righteousness, His wrath. I didn't come to this sermon easy. As a matter of fact, I've been filleted myself, looking into the darkness of my own soul, and realizing how rebellious I am, even as a pastor. The days that I don't get it right. And some days I absolutely rebel. Jonathan Edwards wrote a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I encourage you to go and listen to that, but be ready. I can't preach like Jonathan Edwards. The conviction that I feel this morning makes it hard to preach like Matt Nixon. But I'm going to give it my best shot. I invite you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Well, we'll start here. The road to the end of today is going to be rough. First John 4, 9, and 10, if you would and are able, in honor and reverence of reading God's Word, please stand with me. In this is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Father, I am astounded that You love me. In spite of who I was, and even in spite of who I am, You have fixed Your love toward me, and that doesn't change. I'm thankful for moments like this when I know my sin is before You. I thank You for moments like this when You, like David would say, position my sin ever before me. I'm aware of my desperate need of a Savior, as much in this moment as I ever have been in all of my days. I'm wretched, pitiable, and poor. Knees are weak. So is my resolve. So I depend upon You. I pray today that You would help me to preach Your love in purity for the sake of Your glory. Help me to martyr my own pride, to lay aside any wisdom of this world and preach as You would have me to do. Glorify Yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. God has a zero tolerance sin policy. Zero tolerance. God hates a sinner. That's contrary to popular preaching. And I would challenge you to find where it says that God sends sin to hell. It's not there. I would challenge you to find where it says that God pours out his righteous indignation, his wrath, his fury, his anger against sin, but not a sinner. It's not there. I would challenge you to read Psalm 5 and 6, Psalm chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, in any way other than I'm fixing to read it to you right now. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. He has promised in his word recompense upon his enemies. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, it says, "Vengeance is mine and recompense." Or some of your translations may say, "Vengeance is mine, I shall repay. For the time when their foot, evil, wicked, shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly." Verses 39 through 41 further say this. "See now that I, even I, am he." This is God. "And there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and swear as I live forever. If I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand takes a hold on judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversary, and I will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives from the long-haired heads of the enemy." Harsh words. The Bible says that his vengeance is swift and comes in a moment. Furthermore, in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, David reflects that there is nowhere to hide from the all-seeing eye of God. "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." In Revelation, upon the judgment of the world, it says that the world will cry out for the stones to cover them, to fall on them and hide them from the judgment of God. As Moses came down from the mountain and spoke to Israelites, they said, "Don't say anything else. We can't stand to hear it. From now on, you speak to us. Don't speak to us as God says." Because they understood the sovereignty and the holiness and the purity of God upon before which no one could stand. His wrath, brothers and sisters, it burns hot. Consider the judgments of the Old Testament. If we could turn and had time, I would read to you Psalm 78, verses 1 through 66. I'll go down through and pick a couple for time's sake. You can mark it in your notes and go and read it yourself. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. Not hide them from our children, but tell them to the coming generations. The glorious deeds of the Lord and his might. How he established his testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commands our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, that your children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they shall set their hope in God and not forget the work of God, but keep his commandments. And they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, the generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. These are the Ephraimites. Were turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea. He let them pass. In daytime, he led them with a cloud and with fire by night. He split rocks. He gave them water to drink from the deep. He made streams come from that same rock. Yet they sinned and rebelled against him. They tested God. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? Move down. To 23, he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. He called the east wind to blow, caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he led out the south wind. He rained meat on them like dust. They ate and were filled, verse 29. But before they had even satisfied their craving, verse 30, while the food was still in their mouths, the anger of God rose against him, and he killed the strongest of them and laid low the young men of Israel in a moment. In spite of all of this, they sinned, still sinned. Despite his wonders, they did not believe. So he made their days vanish like a breath. When he killed them, they sought him. They repented and sought God earnestly. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths, and they lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward them, yet they were not faithful to his covenant. He shows him compassion again. He restrained his anger, didn't stir up his wrath. You remember, they were flesh. When it passes and comes not again, how often they rebelled. Verse 44, he turned their rivers. This is Egypt. He turned their rivers to blood so that they could not drink of their streams. He sent among them swarms of flies and devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave their crops to the destroying locusts. All of this, they didn't repent. They continued to rebel. He led his people out like sheep. He led them in safety. They were not afraid. The sea did overwhelm their enemies. Conquered their enemies with the sea. He brought them to the holy land, the mountain which is right-handed one. He drove out nations before them. Yet, verse 56, they tested and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned away and acted treacherously like their fathers. They twisted like a deceitful bow. They provoked him to anger with their high places. Verse 58. For they provoked him with anger with their high places. They moved him to jealousy with their idols. When God heard, he was full of wrath, and he utterly rejected Israel. He forsook his dwelling at Shiloh, the tent where he dwelt among mankind. He gave people over to the sword, vented his wrath on his heritage. Fire devoured the young men, and their young women had no marriage song. Then the Lord awoke from sleep, a strong man shouting because of wine, and he put his adversaries to rout. He put them to everlasting shame. Verse 67, I want to get here. He rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. Rebellious people, every prophet, before he spoke on behalf of the Lord, he declared God's word. He would remind them of the history of God's faithfulness and his prior judgments. I sought to do that myself this morning because I don't want us to think that we're going to escape the judgment of a righteous God. We focus on the love of God, but we forget that that love is righteous. His wrath burns hot. It comes in an instant. And though he's shown his faithfulness, just like he has to Israel time and time again, we turn away and we rebel. It says that God comes against them. He's against those who are against him. In Leviticus, he says, keep all these laws, and if you do so, it'll go well with you. But if you turn away from me, if you go and worship other gods, if you sin, if you reject me, if you turn from me, I will be against you. Like an enemy. And I wet my sword with the blood of the wicked. This is what God says about himself and how he will approach sinners, rebels, the wicked, the unrighteous. As I've reminded you of the history of God's judgment against the people of Israel, I want to give you some more bad news. I and you are not innocent. I didn't get there like I wished I would have. You are not innocent. God has been faithful to every person in this room. You know how I can say that? You're sitting in this church. Not because you're in New Home or not because you hear my voice, but because God, by his grace, has drawn you to a place where people are going to open the Word of God and read it. And say unto you, thus says the Lord, not because I've got some kind of revelation, but because God has revealed himself in Scripture. And it says that his indignation burns hot every day towards the wicked and unrighteous. The deceitful tongue. You are not innocent. You're guilty. I'm guilty. This week, I am guilty before a holy and righteous God. Because at some point during this week, and if I close my eyes, I could give you details of the moments, but I'm not going to do it because it's not about me, that God in that moment could have judged me like he did Achan when he stole the gold and hid it under the rug. I tried to hide it. I thought it was in the cloak of darkness, but God saw every moment. And just like Achan, he could have called to his people and said, go and bring out the man that has sinned in his life and stone him to death. And he would have been absolutely right in doing so. Because I had transgressed against a holy and righteous God. Oh, church, we've lost connection with what sin is. We come and we sing joy to the world, and it's joy for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is condemnation for those who reject him. And it's all still in love because God loved you in the way that he gave his son. But you know who else he loves? His son. And what did he do to him? Crucified him on the cross. So by faith in him, you could have life. You spit on the cross, God is right to come at you with righteous indignation. And you can't ask him why. I gave you a way out and you refused it, so you will stand in judgment today. Swift, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. But some stand for judgment. You want to know the love of God, you need to know the wrath of God. You want to know the love of God, you need to know the darkness of your sin. Because only when you know what God has done on your behalf can you ever begin to understand how much God has loved you. And he gave his son. None are righteous. Psalm 53, 1 through 3. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. How many times have you heard that? Me a lot. Sometimes in institutions where that should not be said. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Brothers and sisters, we're guilty of every type of crime that God has ever listed in his word. Why? I can say that wholeheartedly, because if we're guilty of one sin, we're guilty of them all. Jesus spoke about that to the Pharisees time and time again. The law hangs on two statements. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and the strength. And the second one's just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two laws, all the prophets and the laws hang. We are guilty of every bit of it. Every bit of it. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. For people will be lovers of self. This is at the end, or as in the end age. For we live in that. We live in that. Christ has come. The hour is here. We don't know the measurement of that time, but we are in the end age. When he comes back, it won't be as a babe in a manger. It will be as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It will be the Lion of Judah who will pour out the wrath of God. The recompense will come. 2 Timothy 3, 22 through 5. Sorry, I shouldn't have stopped. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Oh, did you hear the list? Should I read it again? Maybe you think, you missed me. Hold on. Let me shoot again. Romans 1. 18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to the impurities, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with one another and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to the debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's righteous decree, they not only that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but here's where it's going to get us all. They give approval to those who practice such things. You know where you're at? You are a sinner in the hand of an angry God. Paul wrote that it is a fearful thing, the book of Hebrews, is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why? You're a sinner. And his wrath burns hot every day against sinners. We have become of people who have prostituted ourselves just like Gomer in the book of Hosea. There's young ears, so I'll refrain my language, but you know what I just said. Our righteousness is filthy rags. All the good in me that I can muster up before a holy and righteous God will burn with fire and is only good enough to condemn me to hell. All of my righteousness is but filthy rags. Brothers and sisters, we need to follow the script of Isaiah when he stood before God in a temple vision and fall upon our knees and say, woe is me. Oh, this morning at 1 o'clock, it was me in my office weeping. God, it's me. I've hidden the things under the rug. And you've brought them to light. You've exposed them this week. I've thought all week on how is God, how am I going to preach God's love? And it's like, well, you got to know what he's taking you from so you can understand how deep His love is for you. Listen, He has not forgot about our sins. He is not slow as some count slowness. It's not that God is not pouring out His wrath against sin now. We read the Old Testament, we go, well, God changed. Back then when you sinned, God struck you down. Achan, the day that he was discovered, was stoned to death. God's changed. He sent His Son into the world so we don't have to suffer that way anymore. Oh, but wait. Oh, but wait. Because yes, when I sinned this week, grievously in my heart, God could have struck me down and He didn't. And a fool would say, because of that, there is no God. Because it's not the days of Moses. It's not the days of Achan. It's not the days of Korah's rebellion. It's the days of grace is what we'd love to preach. It's the days of Jesus. God doesn't hold us accountable like He did back then. No. You know what Scripture says? You're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of judgment. Just keep on sinning. Keep refusing what He has given. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. I'll read it for you. But by the same word that the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises. Some count slowness. Excuse me. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise as some has count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in an instant, in a moment. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar. And the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Where will you stand on that day? What will be God's decree in your life? I'm sure you can get away with sin right now. Absolutely. Young man, you can get away with sin today. You may think, never be found out. This says different. Old man, you may get away with sin today. You may think it'll never be found out. But this says different. Children, this says different. This says different. God is not slow as some count slowness. Rather, He is patient. You know why God didn't snuff me out? He desired for me to come to repentance. You know why you got here this morning? He desires that you come to repentance. To faith in Christ, if you've ever had it, to rightness before God, if you've strayed, to be reconciled to Him, if you've wandered, to be gathered back, if you're a sheep, one of the 99 or the one of 99. He's long-suffering, not desiring that you should perish, but that you should come to faith. That you should come to repentance. That you would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I want to close with this. Praise God for His love. Because that's what stays His hand. He loves His Son. He loves you in that He gave His Son. So that wrath I've been talking about for the last 30 minutes, where everybody's looking at me going, how are you saying this 3 days before Christmas? Because there's good news. 2,000 years ago, He sent His Son so that He could endure that wrath on our behalf. That swift judgment was poured out on Christ for those who believe in Him. But for those that hate Christ, the wrath of God is upon you now and eternally. Praise God for his love. Romans 5, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know when the right time was? 2,000 years ago. According to God's hand, at the right time, God's will. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Since therefore we now have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. That is why we celebrate Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Go back to Psalm chapter 5 when I read to you that God hates the sinner. You hate all evildoers. David, right after writing those words, he said this, "But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house." How does David get there? Steadfast abundance of God's love. He's not changed. God's love demands his wrath. It demands his wrath. If not, his son didn't have to die. And because he did give his son as an atonement for your sins, it requires his wrath be poured out upon those that reject his son. Or else there was no need for him to be crucified. Church, please don't miss what I just said. Please feel the weight of that. Pastor, contrary to popular belief, will God really judge the sinner? You better believe he will. You better believe he will. He's already shown it to us more than one time. Genesis chapter 6. Go and read it. On the darkest day in history, the greatest passion was put on display. The day that our Savior died, the love of God was shown. He loves you in that he gave his son as an atonement for your sin. You reject the son, Father has every right, and he will pour out his wrath upon you. Do not consider sin as inconsequential. It cost the very Son of God his life. The darkest day in history, again, is the fullest display of the passion of God toward redeeming his people. I invite you to repent. Repent of whatever sin God's revealed in this last bit of time. To confess your sins before a holy and righteous God, he says that he is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's by the blood of Christ that we are made right before God. Your righteousness is filthy rags. I'm already saved. You're not sinless. You're saved into a life of repentance, not a moment of it. A life of reflecting over the love of God in Christ Jesus. Repent. Come clean before a holy and righteous God. And if you're in your sin, if you've rejected the Son, today you've been warned. God's judgment is just, and it's in a moment.
Pastor, how do I avoid that? Call upon the name of the Lord. Repent of your sins. Trust in Christ. Believe in what God has said. Well, he's coming. At whatever time he has determined before the foundation of the earth. And I don't care what modern theologian you watch, he can't tell you. I'm not going to call names though I want to. Jesus said it's not even for the Son of God to know the times that he has set. So play around if you want to. Mistaking his slowness for ignorance. Reject his patience and his provision. And just be ready to stand on the day of judgment. You want to celebrate Christmas? Celebrate the love of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, even as I progress through your sermon, I feel the relief of my sin because I know that it was dealt with on the cross. And for that, I say thank you. It's the great gift of Christ that we can have freedom from our bondage to sin. And we can become slaves of righteousness. God, you're so good. I praise you for your redemptive work that was done on the cross and is continually done in our lives as we approach the throne of mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. As we confess our sins before you and you cleanse us of that unrighteousness. Lord, we are reconciled and being reconciled. It's beautiful, the work of Christ in a life that is surrendered to you. The one that has come to the end of himself and recognized with Isaiah that our righteousness is but filthy rags. When a prophet sees the glory of God and falls on his knees and says, woe is me, you hear it. And just as you did for Isaiah with the coal from the fire that the angel removed and touched upon his lips, the iniquity is carried away. Thank you for your redeeming grace, God, by which I stand here today declaring your goodness. I pray that it be true for every person that is gathered here or even tuned in to hear my voice from their home. Over these next few days in preparation of the holidays and Christmas, we see what love the Father has for us. As John wrote, and this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You loved us and sent your Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, Lord God, be glorified today through the gathering of New Home Baptist Church, for those who are visiting, for those who are members, for those who have wandered in for the first time, for those that have been here for 60 years. Help us today to rejoice in the gift of Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. To his name be the glory, honor, and power forever.